With the media awash in stock market hype and reports of dot-com gazillionaires, it's easy to forget all the people who feel they're on the outside looking in. People like B. Mullen Walker.
I know we're in a good economic state. This is what I hear. This is what I read. But I haven't really seen a whole lot of it. Yeah, I haven't.
Mullen Walker is a 46-year-old single mom who lives in St. Paul. She has freckles and an infectious laugh. She works as a receptionist at Conseco Finance in Eagan. The job pays pretty well. She gets $10.75 an hour. But as a diabetic, she's only able to put in 20 to 30 hours a week, and working less than full-time means no health benefits. What with the cost of Minnesota Care health premiums and food and clothing for two children, Mullen Walker says her $950 monthly pay is barely enough. The fact she's able to get by at all is due to subsidized rent, which is set at $200 a month.
I've done some research what would happen if I was to move out of here and lose my subsidy. Would I be able to afford rent? But if I was to move out of here, I just wouldn't be able to do it.
Her shaky financial condition illustrates a key fact of life in the economic boom. The U.S. economy has been an incredible job-creating machine. But a high proportion of those positions are in low-end services rather than manufacturing, and that means low pay. Lewis Johnston is an assistant professor of economics at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University.
Wages tend to be tied to the growth of productivity, and productivity growth in services is much lower than productivity growth in manufacturing.
This downward pressure on wages explains why 40% of all workers in Minnesota earn less than $10 an hour. The simple fact so many workers are earning so little means they can't afford boom-inflated housing costs. Katie Royce, director of the Community Stabilization Project in St. Paul, a housing advocacy group, blames the strong economy for the dire shortage of affordable housing.
Combined, we have two major factors that are giving us the worst housing crisis ever. And those factors are a booming economy, highly inflated real estate market, and a very low vacancy rate, less than 1%.
That vacancy rate keeps shelters in the Twin Cities completely full. They serve many people who have jobs but can't find an affordable place to live. The housing problem highlights what many observers say is a broad failure by the state's political leadership to deal with issues affecting people with low and moderate incomes. Other problems include health care, transportation, and child care. Yusuf Mjani is president of the Urban Coalition, a Minneapolis-based social advocacy and research group.
For the past 20, 25 years, we've been told there isn't enough money in the state budget to address all of the concerns that the poor have. And now, when resources are available, not to fully devote to those subjects, but to take a gulp out of some of these issues, the interest seems to be in rebates or returning the money back to the public to ensure re-election.
African Americans and other people of color have benefited during the boom from a sizable drop in unemployment. Yet the national jobless rate for blacks remains far higher than the overall average of 4%. Mjani and others say the improved job picture for blacks and other minorities works against those who would like to see more resources devoted to poverty alleviation.
The perception is that welfare reform has worked, that the economy is doing so well with unemployment at an all-time low that anyone who wants to can get a job and pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
Such sentiments may explain why there's little public pressure on policymakers to devote more resources to expanded social programs. The state budget surplus will likely hit $1.8 billion in the current two-year period. And some officials, like Human Services Commissioner Michael O'Keefe, say the state ought to do more.
What amazes me, both at the state level and at the federal level, is we have the strongest economy practically in our history, certainly a record length of economic, solid, stable economic growth. And yet, in our state and federal budgeting processes in the past 4 or 5 years, we are behaving as if we have a recession.
O'Keefe joined the Ventura administration following a career in nonprofits. O'Keefe is also a member of NPR's board of directors. Ventura surprised some advocates for the poor by proposing to spend $169 million on programs for affordable housing, child care, and people leaving welfare. Upgrading the job skills of Minnesota's workers is another thing Ventura has said he'd like to spend more money on. Louis Johnston of St. Benedict and St. John's says rapid changes in workplace technology have brought new meaning to the education premium that's traditionally gone with a college degree. Now it applies to technical and vocational training programs as well.
I think it is being extended to those kinds of degrees, and in fact, I think that's where a lot of our potential, if we want to do things to try and promote wage growth at the lower and middle ends, would be to encourage more people to go into those kinds of programs and not just stop at high school.
But much more needs to be done, and income inequality has become a big problem. From the late 70s to the late 90s, the poorest 20% of the state's families have seen their income stagnate at around $16,000 a year. During the same period, household income of the wealthiest 20% rose by 43%. When you take into account all assets, like homes, stocks, and savings accounts, the median net worth of families earning below $25,000 actually declined from 95 to 98, precisely the hottest years of this, America's longest ever economic boom. I'm Carl Goldstein, Minnesota Public Radio.